This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon join us in the studio now, together, if you were wondering. They're roughly 6 years between the duo's Ascent, 1964's The Sound of Silence, and Bridge Over Troubled Waters, the Grace Note of 1970. But those 6 years made the shared musical name of Simon and Garfunkel inseparable from American culture, spanning two centuries, times of terse poetry, transcendent change, and haunting harmonies. Simon and Garfunkel are back on tour now. For the rest of the summer, they'll perform all over Europe in July and debut a new Simon and Garfunkel song this summer. And it's our honor to have the opportunity to welcome them to our studios. Thanks very much for being with us, Mr. Garfunkel.
It's my pleasure.
And Mr. Simon.
Thanks.
Okay, as I've read, you met each other more than 50 years ago in the sixth grade. It was a production of Alice in Wonderland. Hmm. Did you begin to sing together then?
No, we didn't. We sang the next year.
Because that's when rock and roll came to radio, the next year.
And we were singing, you know, doo-wop. And
I remember... Bo, bo.
You don't have anything, no more notes after that.
It just escaped.
Yeah, we were singing doo-wop. I remember the day that we discovered how to sing a chord, that if one person held a note and the other person held another note and another note, that it would be a chord. That was a revelation.
And then we had our two tape recorders, and we put our two voices down, and then as we played it back, we harmonized to it into the second tape recorder, recording the four voices.
Uh-huh. What did you hear, for example, in Mr. Garfunkel's voice?
Artie was the most famous singer in the neighborhood. In fact, it was Artie's singing at a talent show when we were in the fourth grade that prompted me to try singing.
And then I remember your father passing you said to me, my dad passed my room and I was singing something, and he said, why, Paul, you have a very good voice. And that simple statement, so factual, confirmed that I'm a singer. You once told me
pretty
that.
Much so.
How did you become Tom and Jerry? We'll explain. Oh, you that, sang under that name. You weren't cartoon characters. You sang under that name, and even
but it came from the cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Should I answer? We were discouraged with having harmonized and written our own tunes for a couple of years and not really being lucky enough to get on the radio, which was our goal. But we did sing a little in school, and by the time we were in high school, we were going to chuck it in. And we thought, we have this one last song, Hey School Girl, let's make a demo of it in the city. And we went to this demo studio and paid $7 for an hour of recording, and we put it was our swan song. We'll record this, we'll have a memory, and then we'll give up on this dream. But somebody in the waiting room of that demo studio heard us, liked us, and signed us. Ooh-ba-ba-loo-cha-ba, you're mine. Say, ooh-ba-ba-loo-cha-ba, you're mine. Say, schoolgirl in the second row. The teacher's looking over, so I gotta whisper way down low. You say, ooh-ba-ba-loo-cha-ba, let's meet at the school after. And you were, what, 15, 16?
Yeah, 15.
I want to ask about some of the songs that you're singing now on tour, and let me open it up this way. What do you enjoy singing night after night?
Almost all of the songs. There's only a few that are, you know, harder to bring out because there was something about the recording that gave them their quality.
Like, can I ask about a couple specifically?
Sure.
That you mentioned Sound of Silence. How do you sing that song differently now?
You showed me, and we do it in the show, a more legato, slower opening. It brings out the melody, and you play it beautifully. It's so liquid on the guitar. And then we start with that slower approach. But then the blend and the sound and the harmonies is really what we've been doing with this song ever since you showed it to me in my kitchen.
You know, here's the story of that song.
Yeah, please.
I wrote it when I was 21 years old. Mm-hmm. I wrote it in the bathroom of our house in Queens with the lights off and the water running. That was the atmosphere that I liked.
Hello, darkness, my friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains. within the sound of silence.
Is there a place over the years in which you were particularly surprised to hear one of your songs or a setting in a context?
I can tell you one.
Yeah, you say.
I was on a trip down the Amazon River, and we stopped in the middle of nowhere at a tiny little Indian village. And we were walking around the village, and a girl was sitting in a room with no windows. And she was playing the guitar. And so we stopped to listen, and I said, I know a song that you know. Right. And I played El Condor Paso. She knew it. She sang it in Spanish, of course. And then I said, you play a song. And she played The Sound of Silence.
Huh. Oh, my God.
It was impossible to explain. First of all, we didn't speak the same language. We were communicating by guitar.
Yeah.
And anyway, just the shock of it.
Let me ask you about another 59th Street Bridge.
Which we call Feeling Groovy.
Oh, I don't speak of that song. Oh, wait, I've changed my mind.
It's fluffy.
It's so much in its time, period.
Like a little
outdated.
Smiley face.
It's just as outdated as you could possibly be.
Slow down, you move fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
But now I think of it as like a children's song. A song that's so happy, it's so easy to sing along with it and get it on the most basic levels.
You like it?
Yes, to me it's wonderful in that it's really... That little descending guitar phrase is the song. And so you get so much mileage from that little phrase.
I specifically asked about it after Sound of Silence because of the contrast. So now back in the other direction. Let me ask about Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Ah, what a song.
That song has so much emotional power, and I'm wondering if it's ever happened to either of you that over the years you've gotten into an elevator and heard Bridge Over Troubled Water.
That's a
tough
question.
I'm a big fan of elevator versions of my songs. I really like it, to tell you the truth.
When Seriously?
I'm serious. I really like it when I hear my songs in an elevator. It's penetrated the culture about as far as it can get.
Yeah.
And the arrangements are hilarious. It's just, when it's a background music in an elevator, it's reached everybody. But, so here's how that was written.
Wait, is this sound of water in your bathroom again?
It's a good setup.
Yeah. Trying to be
inspirational. No, I was past that by then.
Okay.
I'd been collecting little pieces of melody and listening to a lot of gospel, particularly the Swan Silver Tones. Mm-hmm. And I was playing my guitars alone at night, and there was nothing that preceded it. I didn't have those words. I didn't have that melody. Mm-hmm. And playing chords, and all of a sudden, I sang that. And
seriously,
I couldn't believe it. I was dumbstruck. And I sang the song in a key on the guitar that was too high for me. And I remember the first time I ever sang it for any of my friends, in whatever key I wrote it, that was inappropriate. And I had to go into like falsetto to get up to the high notes. And everyone said, that's nice. It didn't have any particular impact on anyone.
Well, then, me.
No, it didn't.
No, I loved it, and I loved you in falsetto, and I thought it was a great song, and it's ready to go. I loved it. I've read in print that you thought I didn't like it.
But well, what I remember was you said, well, I don't think I should sing it. So I came to Art, and I said, here's the song, and you should sing the song. And the thing that was different about that idea was, up until then, we really hadn't sung any songs where one person took the lead. So I was offering this song to Art, and he said, I think you should sing it. And that's why I thought, oh, he doesn't really like it.
No, I said you should sing it because your falsetto sound is underexploited. It's a really nice, fluty, pretty sound, and I knew you could sing very nicely in that register, and here's your chance to show it off.
Well, I definitely should have done it. One of the biggest mistakes of my career is to give that song away. But, in all fairness, I never could have sung it anywhere near the way that Art did.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get
I meant it strictly as generosity, that it's a great song. I'd be thrilled to sing it, but I don't want you to underestimate your own falsetto sound in that upper register.
Uh-huh. I think that's more like revisionism, but I accept that.
You know, when the interview is over, I'm going to come to you and say, no, really, really, I loved the song. It was obviously a terrific song. You really did have a serious misunderstanding until Scott's show.
Well, that's great. I'm happy to hear it.
When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I'll comfort you. I'll take your part. Darkness comes and pain is all around, oh, just like a bridge over troubled water. I will
I have no idea where that came from. It was a gift. And I was just emotionally very moved by it.
Let me ask you about Citizen of the Planet.
The world doesn't know that one.
No, but I mean, the whole idea is they will soon.
Well, Citizen of the Planet was a demo that Paul made some years ago. And I always liked it and forgot about it. We'd never put it on anything. And I came across it in my kitchen recently, just last year, played it and loved it again and thought I've always loved it. And I'm a big protagonist of Citizen of the Planet.
I am a citizen of the planet. I was born here. I'm going to die here, come what may. I am entitled by my birth to the treasures of the earth. No one must be denied these, no one must be denied easy dreams at the end of a chain spoken day. Easy dreams at the end. Am I to believe that the future we perceive lies in danger and the dangers increase? Who are we to demand that the leaders of the land hear the voices of reason and peace?
Let me just wind up this way. The rhinoceros in the room, I mean, we've had the privilege of talking with both of you, and the rhinoceros in the room is, of course, we've been warned, don't talk about their relationship. And
I don't know, never mind.
But I come up with a construction, if I can ask you, Mr. Garfunkel. When you look back on your life, are you glad you wound up singing with Paul Simon?
Paul Simon has enriched my life enormously. I am very happy that we became friends. And, of course, a friendship is a history that has light and shade. So what else is new? But you put it all together, and I am tremendously enriched to have known Paul.
It was a very complicated piece of machinery that produced our records. I wrote the songs and made up the guitar parts. Art sang the harmonies. Roy Halley created the sound of Simon and Garfunkel.
Your recording engineer.
Yeah, he really found that sound. And the result of that was a body of work that, quite amazingly, has endured. That's what it was, and just like anybody who's young, we didn't really think about it. Mm-hmm. And when we broke up, we didn't think about it that much. Or I don't know, maybe you did, Art, but I didn't. We came back a few times together, not particularly happily until this time. And then I began to feel, you know, here's my oldest friend, even though I'm estranged from him, mm-hmm. who shared these extraordinary early days of what became a long career, and it just doesn't make any sense to remain estranged. And whether we went forward with the tour or not wasn't as important to me as the mm-hmm. repairing the friendship, which was, it was long overdue to repair it. And we just said, okay, never mind. And we used to do this when we were kids. Never mind, let's just drop that and just forget it, and let's just go.
Yeah, we have a whole history of these periods when we take a pass on each other, and then we drop this whole thing.
Yeah, just drop the attitude
and
say, they don't have to, okay, never mind. Here we go.
Well, I can't thank you enough. It's been wonderful to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
You too, Scott. Thanks for your interest.
Of course, you have a CD coming out of this concert tour.
Yeah.
DVD as well. Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. They perform this weekend in Philadelphia and throughout Europe in July. An extended version of the interview is at our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Time it was, and what a time it was. A time of innocence, a time of confidences. Long ago it must be, I have a photograph. Preserve your memories, they're all that's left you.